Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here. We've got some great tours lined up 2026. Washington, D.C., George Washington's Mount Vernon, Colonial Williamsburg, Historic Jamestown, Boston, Massachusetts, and that greater area. So much to see and do in 2026. If you want information on any of these trips, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com, and we'll see you on one of our tours in 2026.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today's Tuesday, January the 6th. 2026, and in studio with me on the show today is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. I thought you couldn't see me. I got my camouflage shirt on, but apparently that didn't work.
No, you know, I see what you did there.
You had
me tried there for a minute. Yeah, I can see you.
This camouflage is not the official. It's a sporty camo. It's for work.
Right. So that doesn't trick the deer.
It doesn't trick the deers with an S.
the deers.
All right.
Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard. Good morning, brother Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
It's a good day. It's a good day to not be in Venezuela.
Amen.
Got that right.
Well, I take that.
I take that, right?
I take that back. Venezuela, we hope and pray will, go on from Maduro and have some sort of law and order and peace in their country and the families be reunited. But it's still a very volatile situation right there. I shouldn't have said it's great not to be in Venezuela today because those people have suffered enough and they're Venezuelan. Folks in the U.S. are celebrating what's happened there, and we're going to talk about that. What was I going to say? So Ray, give us a good word from the Holy Bible today.
So today, Marlene and I were reading through the book of, actually listening through, I should be clear about that, listening through the last part of Ecclesiastes. And when we finished with it, Tim, I should say, my wife commented, we would have heard this passage differently 20 or 25 years ago. There's this long passage in Ecclesiastes 12, which says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. That's great, great advice. Usually that passage is preached to teenagers, young adults, but you read on with what he says, Tim. He says, remember your creator while you can. Before the days of adversity come. Cool. What does that mean? And the years approach of which you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the light of the sun, moon, and stars is darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. And verse 3 says, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when those grinding cease, because they are few. And it's a description, Tim, of... Well, I'm not speaking for anybody else on our esteemed panel, and it certainly cannot apply to Wesley or to Chris. It doesn't apply to you, Tim. It applies to me. I'm 73 years old. This is one of the most picturesque descriptions of what happens to the body at a certain point in life. You do stoop down. The hearing goes. Your eyesight dims. The grinders are few. Your teeth fall out. The whole body just begins to fall apart. It used to be, probably 2 or 3 years ago, and when we would have a Keep Believing board meeting, I would say, we would be talking about the different physical ailments of people we know, and I would say, guys, we're all just falling apart, and I know of no evidence to the contrary. Nobody's ever presented me with any evidence to the contrary. So you ask yourself, why do you have this detailed description at the end of Ecclesiastes? Remember your creator. Remember him now. Remember him today. Remember to love him and to serve him and to obey him today. Jarvis James said, if you've got a pulse, you ought to have a praise. The end of the book of Psalms says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So here we are, Tim. We're at the very early days of 2026. And already this year has brought some surprises. And you mentioned one in the news just this last couple of days. Oh, my friends, do not put off serving the Lord. Do not put off praising the Lord. Do not put off rejoicing in the Lord. While you're busy today, as we're going through this Tuesday, remember your Creator. Do it now while you have a chance. And when you are old and maybe feeble, you will still remember the Lord. And when you stand before your Creator, you'll be glad you remembered Him on earth while you had the chance.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
And as we used to say in our little Methodist church, may God add His blessings to the reading of His inspired word.
Amen.
That's what we used to say. I don't know. Maybe they say it in other churches.
And sometimes, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Inspired word. That's right.
My dad was a Methodist preacher, and we had we had responsive readings. You've heard of those?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had responsive readings, and I just remember those. Somebody, you'd read the Bible, scripture,
right,
and then you'd say, may God add His blessings to the reading of His holy word. Basically, or something like that. Go ahead.
Well, I remember the Baptist hymnal that we used growing up. You had the hymns, but then at the back you had the responsive readings, mm-hmm, and there were 30 or 40 or 50 of them for Easter and for Christmas and for graduation day. And the pastor would read the light print, and the congregation would read the dark print, and that's how you would be able to follow it as mm-hmm. you would go yep. down the page.
So the Baptists can be liturgical.
They can be, yes.
Okay.
I'm looking at this and listening to you, Pastor Ray, Brother Ray, I would circle or highlight the word remember. That's such a gracious word, because we often forget, even because we're living on this side of heaven, got a fallen world, and Satan provides a lot of distractions, and he tries to get us off script often. And so being able to know that God's gracious enough to remind us of this, and that we also can remind others as well. We were doing a Bible study yesterday, or a short devotion with the family, came across Deuteronomy chapter 6, about the importance of the God's word and His commandments, and storing them in our hearts and putting them on the door facings and writing them on the tablets of our hearts and things like that. And that has to be a reminder for us to do that to our kids as well. So
where are you reading from?
I was just commenting on exactly what
Ray was talking about.
It says, remember also your Creator in the days. And I was emphasizing the word remember, because we often forget, but God's gracious enough to remind us, because we need to be reminded often.
Amen, brother. All right. Where were you reading from, Ray, by the way?
Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Brother Ray. And we're gonna have Jenna Ellis on at the bottom of the hour. We got some stuff to talk to Jenna about. She's the host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time every weekday here on American Family Radio. Hey, before we get to the some more news, we get all kinds of emails, letters, notes, and a lot of them are handwritten. And I always know this is from the usually from the post 70 generation, with the handwritten. We get a lot of beautiful cards and letters. This lady wrote, I just wanted to read this. Dear Mr. Wildman, thank you for the beautiful Christmas card of your family. We sent a Christmas card to everybody who donates to our ministry in December, and so that's what she's referring to. So if you want a Christmas card from if you want a Christmas card from me this year, from us, our family,
you got 11 months.
Money up.
That's right.
You got 11 months.
Well, you need to make a donation.
That's right.
Give American a gift, get a card. That's a good deal.
That's the way the world works, man.
That's right.
She says, thank you for the beautiful Christmas card of your family. It was so nice to see the faces. She said, I listen every day to AFR. I discovered it at the beginning of COVID, and that has been what has kept me what has kept me. She says, a 93-year-old lady. She said, that's kept me going, listening to AFR. She said, I listen to Today's Issues every day and love the news and humor. Love Abe Hamilton, Disciples View, Jenna Ellis, Tony Perkins, and all the pastors. Keep up the good work, Christian work that you do, and to trying to say, do what you can to save our country. May God bless you, and please pray for me. And that was from a sweet lady in Livingston, Texas, Joreen. Joreen in Livingston, Texas.
That's nice.
We get cards and letters similar to this on a regular basis, and it's really encouraging to us to know that you know, AFR is impacting people's lives in a positive way, and it's nice to get a card like that.
Yes, I got to tell you, in my almost 25 years of broadcasting, it's rare to hear somebody say, and I quote, "I love the news." So,
right.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, we have to give the news, you know.
We do.
The good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the real world, and we have to know what we can do to impact it. We also have to know what we can do to pray for, right?
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead, Chris. What's our first, what's leading the news this
morning?
Well,
for our viewers and listeners this morning, we are going to get into Venezuela. But first, we're going to focus for a minute on Greenland, because the Trump administration remains intent, dead set, focused, whatever you want to say, on making Greenland part of the United States.
Great again.
Yes. As a matter of fact, President Trump has said we, quote, need Greenland for national security, foreign policy purposes. Some of our allies are not fond of this. As a matter of fact, our friends...
You mean taking over?
Yes. Yes. Our allies, at least for right now, including Germany and the UK, they've pushed back on Trump talks. They seem to think that this would be a bad thing, that the U.S. does not need Greenland. The Danish prime minister says a U.S. attack to seize Greenland would actually end NATO. But somebody that works for the Trump administration that says we're going to get Greenland and make it part of the United States is White House advisor Stephen Miller, who had this to say, clip 7.
It has been the formal position of the U.S. government since the beginning of this administration, frankly, going back into the previous Trump administration, that Greenland should be part of the United States. The president has been very clear about that. That is the formal position of the U.S. government.
Right, but can you say that military action against Greenland is off the table?
It wouldn't be military action against Greenland. The Greenland has a population of 30,000 people, Jake. The United States should have Greenland as part of the United States. There's no need to even think or talk about this in the context that you're asking of a military operation. Nobody's going to fight the United States militarily over the future of Greenland.
30,000 people, that's all that live in Greenland?
Tupelo has more people than Greenland.
Yeah, that's right. That's amazing. I didn't know that they were that sparsely populated, 30,000 people. Listen, I don't know what to think about this. Haven't thought it through very much. But Greenland, is it a sovereign country, Ray? Do you know?
No, it's a
province of Denmark, right?
Or a colony of Denmark. Yeah.
What is it called exactly? Look that up, Chris.
It is not a fully sovereign state. It's a self-governing territory within the Kingdom of Denmark.
Okay. Denmark's a kingdom?
Apparently.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, Greenland's basically a fishing village.
It's a giant block of ice.
A frozen fishing village.
Right.
Go ahead, Ray. Go ahead. What do you think about all this?
Well, I agree almost entirely with everything you said. Don't know what to think about it, but the statement was made by somebody that the United States doesn't, quote, need Greenland. But by the same token, why does Denmark need Greenland? You know, why aren't they an independent state on their own? There are so many, they say, rare earth minerals in Greenland. Would have to be dug up under the ice and all that, but evidently there's a huge repository of minerals there. And President Trump said the other day, the Russians are snooping around there. The Chinese are snooping around there. We need Greenland for our security. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to send in the 82nd Airborne, are we? We're not going to send in the...
No.
The guys we sent to Venezuela, Delta Force, we're not going to send them to Greenland, right? This is some other situation.
It could be an acquirement, or it could be a deal or a negotiation as a possibility.
This is kind of uncharted territory. I know it's...
From previous administrations.
Well, in world history, you can look at things like this that have happened. Most of the time in world history, the biggest and strongest take what they want. And if they don't, they fight over it. That's not necessarily righteous, as they say, but that's just the way of the world. But I would ask the question, like Stephen Miller was talking about there. I'm just asking a question, okay?
Right.
Does a fishing village of 30,000 people constitute a claim over the largest island in the world? Okay. It's kind of like an outpost, really. So,
well, if they don't have a claim, who does have a claim?
Well, I think that's what President Trump is arguing, you know, that's, I don't know who, there's not many places in the world that's going unclaimed, right?
Well, that's right. That's right.
But Greenland, on the other hand, it just something seems wrong about just taking it because we can.
Yeah.
But like President Trump would point out, and Ray's talking about, you know, Russia and China, this is a geopolitical.
I think you can make a deal. I think there's a possibility. I think it's more likely that you make a deal that's so beneficial.
Who makes deals?
Do I know? Oh yeah, no, right. His okay, next no. President Trump.
Right.
Yeah,
the art of the
American
deal.
Taxpayer.
I think you can make an art of the deal that's so good that even Greenland themselves. I'm just saying a possibility that it's so good themselves that they agree to it and want to do it. The town council. That's right. Yeah. Because if you,
they're aldermen.
Another thing, and switching gears on the other side of things, as Ray mentioned, the rare earth minerals, it's also a strategic post for military and surveillance.
And that's what President Trump has said.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So
here's what President Trump has said. One of the arguments President Trump, his administration has made on a serious note, not that the whole thing's not serious, but that we, the United States, are the major player in NATO and the major funder.
Right.
A funding mechanism for NATO, the North American Treaty Alliance. What does NATO stand for?
North Atlantic Treaty. Hold on a second.
Organization.
Yeah. North American Treaty Organization.
Atlantic Treaty Organization.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization, otherwise known as NATO. NATO consists of European countries who have joined together to. It was originally created to keep Russia, former Soviet Union, from. It was a united front against the former Soviet Union. I think I got that right.
Great.
Is that right, Ray? The history of that? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Of course, the Soviet Union fell apart and became just Russia.
Right. The Russian Federation.
The Russian Federation. So the argument is that if the United States is going to be the chief military provider for NATO, we need outposts, we need places in the geographical area that is NATO that we can operate from.
Right.
And strategically, Greenland would be a place where, for example, a military base, a military station would be advantageous for NATO, which Denmark is a part of.
Correct.
Okay, that's what he was
talking about. I looked it up, and we are closer to Greenland than Denmark. Denmark is roughly...
Well, by gosh, that's all the reason we need. We're closer.
Denmark is roughly 2,200 miles from Greenland, whereas the U.S. is about 1,700 miles.
Oh, we're next door neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't agree with giving the visual or the idea that we would take it over by force. I think everybody has we've all heard this phrase that everybody has their.
We can make them an offer they can't refuse.
Everybody has their number, you know, so to speak. And now, as part of the art of the deal, I just think that that's the more likely way that this will end up. However, I understand, especially at the beginning as he was running for re-election and even in the first couple of weeks, as this was more of a topic at that point as it is now. When, and of course, you know, you got the Gulf of America. All that was going on. You had the Panama City, Panama Canal. All these were in discussion. I understand at first with President Trump not saying that military boots on the ground is not, that gave us the freedom, the liberty to say things like, well, what are you going to take? You know, start questioning things. But I think at this point, I think it's very clear that we're not going to do, I don't think we should give the visual that we're going to rush or take over by force. I think if
we're not going to take over their fishing boats,
right? No. Exactly.
No.
Yeah.
And I think what Ray was saying there, the visual that you got from Venezuela is not the one that you would get there. Although, by the way, the couple of things that Trump has done, such as the Venezuela situation, and the Iran bombing, none of this is an ongoing war. Nobody's talking about Iran bombing anymore.
No.
Because it's one and done. And I think you're seeing a lot of that. I think it will be interesting down the road looking back on the projection or the lies or the phrase or the left talking points of how we're going to endless wars when we don't want to be in endless wars, when we're not in endless wars, and everything that Trump does up to this point is in and out. So comparatively speaking, obviously there's a transition period, but in the Venezuela situation, but there is no endless wars. Everything's thus far is benefiting America.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're on the right track. So, all right. So Greenland, here we come.
Yeah.
I do have a
hello, Greenland.
Welcome,
Uncle Sam.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been years ago. I don't remember if this is before COVID or maybe right after it when churches reopened. But I, here at my church, here in the Tupelo area, a missionary to Greenland spoke at our church. I don't remember what my brother in Christ's name is. But I remember he got up there and he was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm a missionary to Greenland. Yes, there are people on Greenland. And I've often thought of, like, what would it be like to come home and say, you know, honey, I've been called to be a missionary to Greenland. But, Ray, I mean, maybe there's an opportunity for you to preach the gospel to believers in Greenland.
Or look, how about AFR Greenland?
Yeah.
You know, we need a station.
AFR Greenland.
Right.
We need a station up there, you know?
That's Greenland.
So
I nominate Tim, Steve Jordahl to be the one to take that trip up there and cover
right.
that ribbon cutting.
And work out the details, right.
I'll stay
so
here
Tim,
work
how for how much today are you willing to pay for Greenland?
Yeah.
A couple of fishes and two boats and
okay. I think we've used up our Greenland time here. But you know what? In all seriousness, I was looking at a post here. A gentleman is commenting on this, and he says why Greenland? Because this is a post on X from something called Object Zero. It says, why Greenland? Well, because Moscow bases, that's Russia, bases almost all of its strategic military assets on the Kola Peninsula next to Finland.
Mm, yeah.
Hmm.
This is where the Russian ICBM silos, submarine bases, and their strategic bombers are.
I think Finland's a part of NATO. That's one of their newer members.
So if you look at the flight path, ballistic or powered, from Kola, that's where the Russians are, to anywhere on the lower 48, then everything goes over Greenland.
Hmm.
So this militarily would be a very strategic place for the Americans to be, is in Greenland, for no other reason for what we're talking about right here.
And the rare earth.
I don't know if the Kola Peninsula, which I had not heard of, next to Finland, that may be something like Greenland, where there really is no country per se. You might have to look that up, Kola Peninsula, mm-hmm. next to Finland.
I got you.
But It sounds kind of humorous to talk about taking Greenland,
especially early on.
Yes. But
it's not so funny if you're living in Greenland, right?
But I imagine that if Greenland, if you pay each one of those fishermen enough,
that's what I was going to say.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll double your boat size.
Right. We'll double.
We'll
your boat
upgrade
size.
Your boat size. Right, we'll make it a smart boat.
Right.
Instead
you
of
like
a dumb
to fish
boat.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Here's the money.
All right. We'll be back with Jenna Ellis in a moment. Stay with us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American or Greenland Family Network here. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm. would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. We are... Hope you're having a... You're off to a good start here in January. It's a new year. And me personally, I'm looking forward to summer. Because January's the coldest month for us here where we live. It doesn't mean anything to Ray and Jenna. But and I say cold. Cold's relative.
Sure.
Yeah. People in Minnesota go, Indiana and the upper north, they don't know. They say cold. You don't know what cold is. And you're right. And I don't want to know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't
Please don't
know.
Ever transfer me.
Right. this is as cold as we want to get it.
Tim?
Yeah.
At the moment, it is sunny and 74 here in Hudson. I can get you tea time at 1:30. Not a problem.
Yeah, that's why you moved down there.
That's exactly
that's why
right.
you moved down there. For you're there for the Ray and Marlene officially became snowbirds.
That's exactly right.
Snowbirds. So but you paid your dues with how many years in the Chicago winters?
17 years.
17 years in Chicago winters.
We had to fly back up to Chicago over the weekend for a funeral of a dear friend, and it was 70 some degrees when we left Florida. And we got off the plane in Chicago. I turned to Marlene and I said, "We've gone to Siberia." You know, it's amazing, Tim, how quickly you get used to this warm weather in January, you know?
Yeah.
I don't miss the snow in there.
But you ought to write a book sometime about that because you're an Alabama boy.
That's right.
And so we grew up in the South and then spent 17 winters where did you pastor there, by the
in
way?
Oak Park, Illinois. That's a suburb on the west side of Chicago.
Okay. That's how you and I first became friends. You would come here to visit your brother.
That's right.
In the summer, you drive down from Chicago to Tupelo.
Right.
Your brother lived here in Tupelo. You were at that time, you were writing
a bunch of books. And so met Marvin Sanders that way and in the old studios, you know.
Yeah.
And
must have been 20 years ago?
More than that.
Yeah.
That'd be more like almost 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Back in the late 90s when I first met you. Yeah.
Yeah. You would come down and we would interview you about whatever book you had coming out and talk to you. And then we became friends and,
is history.
Yeah, you came on our board of directors, and then you also, began to co-host with us here on Today's Issues. I know you. So if people want to say, "Well, you don't know what cold is," no, Ray does know what cold is.
I do.
17 winters in Chicago.
You learn quick.
He's paid his cold weather dues.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Joining us now is our colleague and friend, Jenna Ellis. Jenna is she's not co-host, unless she's got a dual personality, which she might have, and I'm not judging her, but she is the host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, heard weekdays here on American Family Radio from 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning with analysis of news and events of the day from a biblical worldview and constitutional perspective. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning. Happy New Year. And I think my co-hosts are my two dogs, Copper and Todd.
That's
They're actually my podcast co-hosts.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Now, you live in Florida, too, but you paid your winter dues in Colorado, right?
I did, yes. I grew up in Colorado, and it was always so great to come to Florida. My family would come to Florida almost every year around, like, late April, May, and we would leave the literal blizzard of Colorado and come to the sunshine in Florida, and it's great to have that year-round now.
Yeah. Now, do you know if the has the snow been enough to supply the ski resorts out there? Because I was reading about how there some places across the country they're having to.
There hasn't been a lot of snow in Colorado currently. In fact, I was out there for about 2.5 weeks over Christmas break, and we only got like a light dusting. But that was more, you know, in the foothills. But it's been it's been a pretty not snowy winter currently, and so they're having to supplement with some of the snow machines and all that. But really, it's kind of weird how it shifted a little bit from when I grew up, but it seems like now the heaviest snowfall is between January and March instead of like the November to you know, February.
Yeah. All right, Jenna, still I know this though. I know this morning you focused on Venezuela. Talk about that if you would. What's the big story here?
Yeah. So this was, you know, I mean, Trump didn't waste his holiday break at all. So I think we all, you know, woke up to the news as well that this very strategic operation in Venezuela to capture Nicolas Maduro, who is at least not by the United States terms, the unrecognized president, but sort of self-appointed president of Venezuela. And so he has been taken into custody and, in fact, yesterday made a first appearance in a federal New York courtroom on an indictment that was handed down by a federal grand jury back during the Trump administration's first term. So then Attorney General Bill Barr has made some comments that he thinks it's very ironclad and that there will be a conviction on drug-related charges, among other things. And so that's one piece of it. But I had a former CIA intelligence officer on my program this morning who made a really interesting point that everybody's talking about now, how the United States is basically in control of Venezuela's oil supply and how they have been the purveyors to China of oil. And now President Trump has said to China, you know, you'll still get your oil from Venezuela, but basically is telling them that that's on the administration's good graces. So this is likely going to kind of keep China on their heels, maybe even more effectively than tariffs. So we won't be seeing an invasion of Taiwan anytime soon. So this has a lot more broad-reaching implications for foreign policy for the United States. There have also been some commentary about how the Tren de Aragua gang members from Venezuela that made headlines during the election in actually Aurora, Colorado, which I know very well coming from Colorado, how those gang members that were committing, you know, a lot of crimes, acts of violence, now have absolutely no reason to be in the United States, even though they didn't to begin with, but how a lot of Venezuelans can return now to their home country, rebuild, and so a lot of that refugee status won't be available to them. And so this is part of the Trump administration's overall plan to ensure that we have effective not only border control, but more mass deportations. And a lot of these now will be self-deportations back. So a lot going on with this. And it's amazing that just one strategic, effective targeting of Maduro has accomplished quite a lot of not only foreign policy, but domestic policy goals.
Who do we deal with now? Yeah, by we, I mean the United States government. President Trump says basically that we, the U.S., are at least temporarily running things in the country there. Is that, do you know?
It's going to be interesting. I don't know that there's a specific process per se, but who is going to perhaps, you know, claim the presidency, whether that was, he doesn't seem too keen on the woman, I'm forgetting her name, who actually they're saying was the legitimately elected president, but for some of the fraud that occurred, whether they'll hold a new election. Certainly conservatives in the U.S. are suggesting that the United States shouldn't try to be in control of the regime change, but more facilitate and oversee it. I'm assuming that Secretary of State Marco Rubio will take a huge part in that, at least on behalf of the United States. But it'll be interesting to see.
I remember I read one of the articles that was sent around that up until 2031, the lady that is in there now is the interim, and then they're going to have a re-election.
In 5 years?
That's what I think that's what I read.
Have another
I'll double check that, yeah.
In 5 years? Well, anyway, it'll be interesting to see. I do know for a fact that Venezuelans who are in the United States, not those gang members you talked about, but just the average Venezuelan who came here because of the brutal dictatorship, they came here to escape a political persecution, basically, that they are celebrating in the streets in Miami and other places in the country where they have, they have people who in the communities, the Venezuelan communities here based in the United States because of the, even on The View.
Yes, and we have some audio.
Even
here.
On The View, I know people have been waiting to me to say, The
Even
View.
On The View, yeah.
which I've never watched it in entirety.
You haven't missed anything.
I don't, have it on my record on my TV at home. So The View I only know about because it's in the news almost every day because of, so there's a story about what they said on The View.
Mm-hmm.
The View is that television show with those four liberal women, sometimes five, and then they got one person, what's the conservative?
The Republican in name only.
Yeah,
yes, that
really,
one.
Yeah.
What's her?
That one. Alyssa Farah Griffin is the current installation. Yeah.
She plays the part of the conservative on there. So
they usually get one.
By the way,
season.
I knew her dad really well.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't talked to him in years, but I didn't know him and worked together with him. Joe Farah. Some people may remember here from what was called World Net Daily. But anyway, Alyssa, is it? Is that her name?
Yes.
She is that her name, Jenna? Mm.
Yes. Yes.
She is Joe Farah's daughter. Mm. So anyway, do we have the video, the audio from
yes.
that? Because I did want to play this because it is. I think that there's some very good points made by one of the commentators on The View.
And one of these is surprising because co-host Anna Navarro, who usually finds something about President Trump to complain about, was actually glad to see that Nicolas Maduro was taken out of power, was deposed or removed, captured, whatever somebody wants to say. So here's an exchange between Anna Navarro and then Whoopi Goldberg, another liberal on The View there. Clip 11.
So while perhaps no one is going to miss a tyrant like Maduro, is this a legal thing? I mean, who voted for this? Who said, hey, yeah, go on in there and do this?
Mm-hmm. Your question, who voted for this? Mm-hmm. The people in South Florida, the Venezuelan community, the Cuban-American community, the Nicaraguan-American community voted for this. And for us, this is a very, very happy day when we see a dictator who has been part of oppressing and abusing the Venezuelan people for 25 years, when we see him in handcuffs and held to some sort of accountability. It brought me into tears. It brought me great joy. And, I live in South Florida.
But are you okay with the way that it was done?
But you can, I think both things can be true.
Okay.
I think you can criticize and ask questions and have concerns about the way it was done and what this means in the future.
Right.
And I think you can still celebrate that this murderous, corrupt, sadistic is out of Venezuela. Yeah.
Wow. What do you think about that, Ray? That was...
Well, terrific.
That was a liberal.
Her. Right. Yeah. A liberal actually praising what happened. Jenna, I wanted to ask you about this. Okay. So let's assume for argument's sake that everything in the indictment is true, which I think it is factually true, that he's a narco terrorist and his wife was involved too. So he's gone. But there had to be a whole organization, right? He had his lieutenants and his supporters and the people who were fueling the drug trade and the illegal stuff. I mean, at that level, there had to be a lot of other people involved in this criminal activity. So what happens now? Well, that's really a good question. What happens now? How do you begin even to bring these other people to justice in one way or another?
Well, it reminds me a little bit of what's going on in Minnesota with Governor Tim Walz and all of the fraud that's going on there, because you know that a lot of people were involved. And I hope to similarly see more than just one investigation, more than just one indictment. Obviously, Minnesota is a little bit easier in terms of, you know, being domestic in terms of jurisdiction. But I think with respect to Maduro, what starts to happen is the interrogation and, you know, the depositions and some of these things that if Maduro talks and he names names, and he may implicate, you know, people in other countries. I mean, then that's going to have to get sorted out and see, is there some kind of extradition where they can be brought to justice in the United States, maybe even in other countries, if that's ultimately what he testifies to. So I think that whatever Maduro has to say on the record is going to indicate, I think, a lot where the next steps go. But in terms of the prosecution, I also had on another lawyer this morning, who Jared Folletti, who's senior counsel for the Lawfare Project, and he said that the federal jurisdiction in New York, actually their process where Maduro currently is, moves pretty rapidly. So we could even see this whole process completed before the November election this year, which is really rapid compared to other jurisdictions. But then also my home state in Florida, Governor DeSantis has indicated that he and our attorney generals in the state are looking at potential charges out of Miami for Maduro. So, you know, this may not be over yet with just one indictment in New York, but certainly I would expect others for other individuals to follow.
Did you see where the judge overseeing this case with Maduro in New York, mm-hmm. be a federal judge, right?
Yes.
He's 92 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Maybe he's one of the sane people left in New York. So, because I was pretty impressed with him kind of cutting off Maduro, saying,
yeah.
You know, this isn't the time and place to protest your arrest and make political statements. I just need a, you know, guilty or not guilty.
Yeah. So. I just thought, man, that guy's, huh?
He was
that
also quoted as saying he doesn't care what other people think about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's been eating his Wheaties, evidently.
And good for him. I mean, the Bible doesn't speak to retirement and just, you know, going off and living life for yourself. So, you know, he's still on the bench, and good for him.
92 years young, a federal judge. That's amazing. And they have lifetime appointments, so, you know, he's evidently using that to the max. Huh? 92. All right. Well, Jenna, what's coming up on your show tomorrow? Do you know yet? I guess it depends on what happens this afternoon.
Yeah. And yeah. Tonight. You know, it can always change sort of last minute, but we usually sketch out kind of, you know, where we want to go. And
right.
I'm going to be talking about AI and what's, you know, what the latest developments are with a special guest that we like to have on from time to time, Patrick Hedger from NetChoice. And then also our friend Troy Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters wants to come on and talk about how NRB is helping to combat Christian persecution worldwide, and then also advocating still for AM radio in every vehicle act, just to ensure that, you know, that side of radio can still continue as a public service.
That's tomorrow morning on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. You know, one thing about AI, which is short for artificial intelligence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is, which some of my teachers said I had. but here I am. I'm still standing. Artificial.
And you're not even 92 yet.
Even if my intelligence is artificial. And I'm not even 92 yet. Yeah, I got 30 years to go before I can be a federal judge, I guess. You know, the thing about it is the artificial intelligence, like much of technology, is going to cut both ways.
That's right.
It's going to be very helpful to mankind. And Elon Musk has talked about this and others. But it's going to be, and it's already helping in a lot of ways. It's going to have a lot to do with medical breakthroughs on how to, you know, treat diseases and so forth. There's a lot of great things happening right now with the world of AI. But then the other problem is the, you know, dark side of it. And I was reading another story about these deep fakes that are out there. And the I saw a video yesterday, I guess it was, of it was a funny video of Maduro being the janitor at the White House in the Oval Office. Have you guys seen this? Did you see this, Jenna?
Yeah, I've seen a few deep fakes.
Then everybody knows what I'm talking. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's very funny to watch. It's I don't know if you call it a meme. It's a meme video, M-E-M-E video, but it looks so real.
Mm-hmm. Huh? It does.
Not surreal. It looks so real. I'm just going. Pretty soon somebody's going to do a video that is going to go viral that's going to have negative impacts around the world that people are going to believe, you know, because they...
Well, it reminds me of that radio program one time, and I'm forgetting exactly, you know, the context.
Orson Welles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When they were talking about the alien invasion.
Yes,
and it
back
was
in the
satire,
30s
like,
or 40s. Mm-hmm. Right, when was that? You lived back
19,
then, didn't you?
1938.
You heard the broadcast.
Right.
Yeah, and people heard the broadcast. They thought it was real, and they didn't catch kind of the disclaimer at the beginning. And that's what, you know, artificial intelligence, the danger of that is that before verification, you know, people are going to believe these things. But the good thing is the proliferation of that has been so widespread that even things that are real, people are going, oh, that's got to be AI. I don't even believe it. And so I almost think that some of the danger will be the opposite way, that when we do have actual video of real life events, people won't believe that and they'll assume it's AI. So we kind of have that twofold problem.
Somebody sent Allison and my wife a video the other day of like an Instagram thing with this. And once most people know what these are, these little short clips, like 10-second, 15-second?
Shorts.
30-second videos, what do you call those?
Shorts.
It was Instagram, although you have the same thing on YouTube because I've wasted some hours there too. And that is these little short videos. But you could tell they're making little videos about animals and kids and stuff like that. And you could sort of say, that's not real.
That's right.
But they're funny when they are real and they're natural, but you're going like, you're telling me somebody had a video camera right when the dog hugged the baby.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can tell that's a fake video.
Although I'm recording my dogs almost 24/7 with all my pictures. Yeah. I would believe.
It's funny you mentioned that you're telling me that they happened to have a camera rolling. People said that when Kamala Harris and Tim Walz were shopping for Doritos in a gas station. Remember that?
Yes.
People were like, oh, how coincidental that there happened to be a camera. Yeah.
What now?
When they were running for
this was a great moment in American politics.
Yes, it was. When they were running for election, Kamala and Tim Walz stopped somewhere,
right?
And Kamala was trying to be like, you know, one of us by shopping for Doritos,
right?
And Governor Tim Walz helped her find the Doritos at a gas station, and then upon further review, they actually learned that there were different takes. Like they had cameras at different angles, and they went around and like edited the video together.
Oh, okay. So it was not. It was phony.
Yes.
Phony baloney.
As was her campaign.
Okay. Well, Chris, that was unnecessary.
Well, she's not in the White
House.
But it was accurate. All right. Thank you, Jenna. Take care.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's Jenna Ellis joining us from the Sunshine State, where Ray resides. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Wesley, Chris, and Ray. Do you get how much longer has deer season got now here in Mississippi?
Got 3 weeks left.
3 weeks left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what? It's always something on the baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you love deer hunting.
Yeah, love deer hunting.
Yeah, how many did you get a big buck this year?
Yeah, I hope my wife's not listening right now.
Okay, why is that?
Turkey season's around the corner.
season follows deer
That's
season.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
And then you got fishing. And then you got.
Oh yeah.
The great outdoors that never
but
stops,
in all huh? but in
I
all
just
seriousness,
how the deer season was going.
Do what now?
The deer, you got you a big.
Oh
buck.
Yeah, I got me a big buck. But in all seriousness, I've enjoyed. My kids are falling in love with it as much as I do. And so they
don't
are
have a choice because you drag them with you.
That's right. Yes.
But I say drag them. Yeah. They want to go now.
No, I did. No, you do. They don't. Yeah. They really don't have a choice early on. But then, you know, I mean, when they're sick, when they're five.
Right. Right.
But, you know, but the way that I do things, I like to believe that I make it enjoyable to the point where they want to do it. And so the other day, my middle daughter, she's seven. She said she overheard me and my oldest son, 10, who's a big hunter, that we were going hunting, and she overheard it and said, "Well, I haven't got to go in the morning before. When you go in the morning, it's usually very early, and it can be cold." And she said she wanted to go. It's not fair. She never gets to go in the morning. I thought, well, okay. Yep. So, anyways, I woke her up, and she went, and all went well. So,
well, my dad didn't hunt, so I didn't grow up hunting. But your granddad on your mom's side taught you how to hunt. Ray, did you grow up hunting?
No. Yeah. My dad did some quail hunting around Oxford, but no, not really.
There's a lot of memories made in the woods.
Yeah.
Dad right now is looking at a picture
of... Talking about Dad, me?
You are looking at a picture of Anna Wesley. This is her right after I shot my big buck. She was coloring in the deer stand.
Yeah, she's four, right?
Yeah, she's four. She's in her Christmas pajamas.
Well, Wesley built a luxury deer stand.
I did do that. That
sounds like it.
So there's room for everybody up there.
Trump Towers.
And so you
got a golden toilet.
4-year-old daughter can color while he's scoping a buck.
That's right.
I love it.
All right. Well, we shall take a break. Chris, thank you for your invaluable contributions to this show.
You're welcome.
Yes. We shall return momentarily with Steve Paisley Jordahl and more of today's issues. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.